Well, let us go into the 46th chapter. We won't get very far, but rather we don't have very much time left. But let's go on into the 46th chapter of Isaiah. This chapter now is talking about the folly of idolatry, how that Judea is to follow God. The scene of this prophecy in chapter 46 is in Babylon at about the time when Cyrus was at the gates, ready then to bring the city down to destruction. It begins by saying, Bel boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Now let's look at this just for a moment. Bel, spelled here B-E-L, is a name for the main god that the Babylonian people worshipped. It was also spelled B-E-E-L, and it was also spelled B-A-A-L. And many of their names that they had, they connected it with this prefix of Baal. For example, the name given to the king at the time that Cyrus took the city was the name Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar. The name given to Daniel was Belshazzar. And there were many names that had the name Bel as the prefix on the name relating to this god. Now they tell me from history that Babylon was a city divided into two major portions. The Euphrates River ran through the city and divided into two areas. And in one area, the center was the palace where the king was. But in another area, the center of that area was a temple dedicated to this god of Bel. And it was supposed to be a very magnificent temple. The gates of it still were standing for a long time, and there's a lot of history about it, but it just shows the very great power that this idolatrous god had in this country of Babylon. Well, he says, Bel boweth down. And he's talking about the time now whenever this city is captured, when these people are overrun by Cyrus, that their god, the thing that they've been paying all this homage to and giving all their glory and their very lives to, their god, Baal, would bow down. That is, he would not be able to give them any help whatsoever. Then the next statement here is, Nebo stoopeth. Now, Nebo is another god that they had, and this was more of an astrological god from what I can understand. He was an idol, of course. But he had to do with the heavenly bodies and the worship of the heavenly bodies. It's Nebo. And here again we have words that were prefixed by the name Nebo, such as Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was the great king, you know, who captured all of the territory that Babylon had in its heyday. And he had his name connected to this god of Nebo. Well, he says, Nebo stoopeth. Here again, this god also will not be able to give them any help at all in the time of their calamity. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy loaden. They were a burden to a weary beast. Now this is the picture then of the idols as they were hauled from Babylon by the conquerors of the city of Babylon. These idols were loaded upon the beasts of burden, upon the cattle. The carriages were heavy laden. Or it says loading here, and they are a burden to a weary beast. There was such a vast amount of material used to make idols out of that when they got ready to haul this out, it was just a very great chore to haul it out of there. And he's talking about the wood and the stone and the metal that would go into these idolatrous images. So in verse 2 he says, they stoop, they bow down together, they could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. And this just simply means that these great idols, this Bel and this Nebo, they bowed down, they stooped, they couldn't deliver or save the burden, and the burden here was the wood and the stone and the metal that was being carried out on these beasts and in these wagons. They couldn't save them, they couldn't deliver them, but themselves are gone into captivity. These idols were hauled away as a part of the loot of those who captured the city of Babylon. And they themselves, the very image of the God himself, was taken into captivity. You know, even though God allowed Israel to be carried into captivity and allowed the temple to be desecrated, never could they say that they captured God. Not the living God. He was never captured. He was never even in danger of being captured. So he says in verse 3, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb." Now here God is just simply calling upon his people and saying to listen to me, all the remnant of my house. Now this word remnant means those remaining. And as we study through the Bible, and we've had this several times in the Old Testament, God is always talking about having a remnant. The big bulk of the people might be destroyed, or carried away into captivity, or completely obliterated, but somehow or other there's always this remnant that God does save. And we today, as members of the church, happen to be the remnant. Jesus said that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many that be that go which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Over and over again it's told that there's just going to be few that find the way to life. And that then is consistent with this idea of a remnant. Heard the story one time of a man who was accosted by another man. He said, "Are you so narrow as to believe that only members of your church are going to be saved?" He said, "I'm more narrow than that. I believe a lot of them are not going to be saved." And I say that to show the point that there is just a remnant, even of God's people many times. Many of them, most of them many times, were not saved. Of all those that came out of the land of Egypt, crossed over the Red Sea, into the wilderness area, only two of the adults, and there were probably several hundred thousand or maybe even several million of those people that started out, only two adults were allowed to get to the land of Canaan, Caleb and Joshua. All the rest, he said, for 40 years, your bodies and bones are going to be strewn in this wilderness for disobedience. That was God's people now. So he says, all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and what he's saying here is simply that God has protected them from the beginning of the nation. He had born them from the belly or carried them from the womb from the very inception as a nation. God has borne them. He's carried them. He has been their protector. But then he says also, verse 4, "And even to your old age I am he." Not only did he help them when they were first born and first created and originated as a people, but he says, "I'm still with you on down to your old age. I'm still he. I'm still the same God. I haven't changed in my feelings about you. I still want you to be my people. I am he. And even to the hoar hairs will I carry you." Now this word hoar, H-O-A-R, means white. It's the same as hoary. It means white or gray. So even he says to the time that you get down to the time of having gray hairs, I'm still going to carry you. I started out with you from a little baby. I started out with you from your first birth, your first inception into this life. And now I'm with you down to the time of old age. I'm the same God. "I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you." So he's telling Israel that although a lot has happened, although you have progressed much in the way of years, I'm still the same God that was with you in the beginning, I'm still with you now. Now of course this figure, this picture, applies to Israel as a nation. But it also applies to every one of us as individuals. When we first obey the gospel, when we first take our stand for Christ and do those things that the Bible requires to do for salvation, so that we'll be such as will be saved and so that we'll be added to the church daily, like the Lord says in Acts 2, the Lord is with us. He is with us as we come from the belly and even from the womb in our birth as a Christian. And we think, you know, about the younger people having a deep need for God, about how nice it is that God will be with them and God will be their God. But let us not also forget about the older people. The older people have just as much need for God as do the younger. Even though they've put out many, many years of service, even though they now are bent and bowed with age, they have the gray hairs in their head, they have the scars of experience,